If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. How many know sometimes we can make things bigger than what it really is? Hello, we can make things bigger. We can make things bigger in our own mind than what it really is. I want to continue talking about fear, going to talk about different things, but it all starts in the mind. It all begins right here. I know there's been times I would think about something small. By the time I got done thinking, my gosh, it was the end of the world. Anybody else ever done that before? That's the reason. I won't get there all the way, but that's the reason the Bible tells us to guard our minds. Because Satan likes to play a chess game. We're going to talk about Satan's chess game this morning. Begin it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let me read that one more time. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I want to speak to you this morning on the thought, Satan's chess game. Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear Lord, and we ask, Lord, for your anointing, dear God. We ask, Lord, for your spirit, dear Lord, to be upon me, God, as I bring forth your word this morning. Lord, today I ask, Lord, for you to just search lives, hearts, and individuals, dear God. Lord, there may be one bat on it this morning. Lord, let them realize that these thoughts are not as big as they make them out to be, Lord. Father, today we pray, God, against the spirit of fear, dear Lord. Lord, today we ask, Lord, for your touch, dear God. And we ask, Lord, for your anointing, dear God. Lord, and we give you glory, God, and we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we ask for your anointing one more time. In that blessed name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. I want to start out and tell you, I've never had interest in the game of chess. I've never wanted to sit down and play chess with anybody. I don't, you may, but that's your decision. But I can tell you what I know about it and read about it, that it is a brilliant game. It is the game of a mind, if you will. It is a game of thinking and a game of strategy. It is also a game of patience and endurance. The ultimate setup is challenging yourself and your opponent to see who can outthink the other. The bottom line of chess, reading this, is to get into the other person's mind and win the game. This is the natural game. But I want you to know there's another side of it, the spiritual side, where Satan will try to get in your mind, where Satan will begin to operate in the mindset of one. For the last couple Sundays, you've heard me speak on the spirit of fear. And one of the things that I've told you about this spirit, and I've mentioned in these services, and I'm going to mention it again. The mind is the devil's playground. That's where he operates. That's where he can take an advantage. You see, one thing one must realize, the devil and his minions know how to push the buttons of your minds. He, in other words, he knows the exact move that he needs to do. What will he do? He will use mental conversation loops and damaging words planted in your thoughts and patterns. He will enforce these negative patterns so you will obsess on thoughts. when he gets you there, it is a place that he can weaken you. Then he will reconstruct your thinking and create patterns and cycles by opening gateways and portals of your mind. Whether you realize it or not, he operates in that way. What does he do it for? Because he wants to have access to your mind. He wants to have access to your will, and he wants to have access to your emotions. Satan has destroyed many lies over thoughts that were not real. Satan has destroyed many households over things that were not real. My Lord, today, as I've told you earlier, we have all come to a time in our life where there would be a thought inside of our head. And many times we have all just laid there and dwelt on that thought and made it bigger than it really was. Anybody else with me this morning? You worried about something small. Maybe it's the example, maybe you had a headache and all of a sudden you begin to think about that headache, and all of a sudden it becomes that you got a brain tumor. How many know that is the operation of the devil today? And how many know that God didn't give you that? How many know that God wants you to have a sound mind? But I'm telling you this morning that old devil, that old slewfoot in his dominion, have destroyed many lies over things that he has got people convinced of in their mindset, in their way of thinking. But I want you to know this morning that you don't have to be a victim to the devil and his game of chess. You can stop him right in his tracks. One of the things I'm going to tell you this morning that every believer needs to get a hold of: you can't stop him from coming, but you don't allow him to come in. Did you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you can't help who knocks on your door, but that don't mean you've got to let them in the door. Did you hear what I'm telling you? You don't have to let everyone that knocks on your door inside. Did you hear what I'm saying this morning? And I'm telling you today, the body of Christ, just because the devil comes knocking around, just because he comes knocking on the door, don't mean that we've got to allow him to come in. My Lord, we read the story found in the Bible of Nathan the prophet coming to David and rebuking him for the sin. And one of the things that Nathan the prophet said in 2 Samuel 12 verse 4, he said, "And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him." What happened here was, we know the story of David and Bathsheba. We knew how David had sinned against God. And here comes the man of God, the prophet of God, to rebuke David right there. And that Nathan the prophet uses the word traveler in this parable that he speaks to David with. That traveler, the rich man, fed. Who did that represent? It represented David. And because Nathan said, "I'm talking about you, David. I'm talking about you right there." But what did he begin to feed? It represented the temptation and the lust that visited David on the roof. And then it controlled him. You see what I'm trying to tell you? You can't help it sometimes what you come in contact with. You can't help what gets in your mindset, comes a thought, but you sure don't have to allow it to come in. You see, what we begin to see is, if you begin to open the door to these travelers, you begin to open the door to these thoughts, whether it's the thought of sin, whether it's fear or whatever, can I tell you this morning, it ain't long. It's going to control you. It's going to rule over you. you're going to be obsessed with these things. My Lord, let me tell you, people get obsessed with things that ain't real. People get obsessed with these thoughts of what could be. What could be the worst possible scenario. How many know this morning God don't want you living like that this morning? How many know God don't want you living bound by that this morning? I want you to know this morning that He has come to set you free. I know you can't help when these things come your way, but we don't have to allow Him to come inside of us. We don't have to allow the traveler to take up root inside of our mindset where He controls us. He takes the dominion in our mind and begins to, them thoughts and those places of fear begin to override us. I ask you this morning, how many in here has ever had a time in their life when all of a sudden a thought just came in? All of a sudden, out of the blue, you wonder, where in the world did that thought come from? Am I the only one in here? All of a sudden, you may be doing something, and all of a sudden, something may just pop inside of your mindset, and you wonder where it came from. Can I tell you, I imagine we've all had that to happen along the way. Who is that is coming? What is that brought that thought? Well, let me tell you, it is called the traveler. The one that Nathan the prophet spoke of. And let me tell you this morning, you're all going to experience those travelers. You're all going to experience those thoughts that come your way. But He'll come knocking, wanting to come in. But I want you to know this morning, just because a thought may come your way, just because that traveler may come and knocking in your mindset, don't mean you've got to allow Him to come in. But people do. You see, and I'm convinced one of the reasons we allow the traveler to come in is because we're idle. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. Amen? How many know that this morning? An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Most people that allow it to come, get bound by these, most of the time they're idle. How do you know that? Well, I'm convinced when you begin to read the Bible, you begin to see the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the account, how God destroyed it. Where did it come from? Well, I believe in Ezekiel 16 and 49, we have the answer. And I believe it is the answer in this hour that we are in right now. This is the reason the world is in a mess. This is the reason fear is spreading. This is the reason people are in chaos. This is the reason people are rioting and looting and doing all sorts of evil things. This is the reason for the spirit of stupidity. Let me tell you, Ezekiel 16 and 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. And in her daughter, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. One of the things that struck me right there was in Sodom and Gomorrah. In Sodom, the Bible says there was an abundance of idleness. People were doing nothing. People were looking to be more entertained than they were to do anything. My Lord, if you look at our society today, you look at this country today, what is influencing kids more than anything? Entertainment. What's influencing people more than anything? Hollywood, if you will. Look where we are at right now. My Lord, they just come out and said that SpongeBob SquarePants was a homosexual. Portraying him at. Do you see, this ain't a game no more. An abundance of idleness has given root to what we are seeing in this country right now. People, the abundance of idleness has given root to the what we are seeing right now. I'm convinced the reason for the perversion, the reason for the sins of Sodom, all had to go about an abundance of idleness. And when your mind is idle, can I tell you that's when Satan will begin to work? My Lord, our society is filled with idleness. It is filled with ungodliness. I'm telling you, we ain't filling our minds with the Word of God. I'll get there next week. But I'm going to stop here for just a minute. We're filling our idle minds are not being filled. They say you ought to empty your minds. No, we need to fill our minds. I'm telling you, there's enough empty minds going around in the world today. Hello? There's enough empty minds that are walking around. Poor old Bo back there. His daddy was slapping him on the head. But I'm telling you, empty minds, because they're idle. My gosh, let me tell you what's wrong. Everybody's so offended. Everybody's got a victim mentality. People's got a victim mentality because they got an idle mind and the devil's playing on it. Hey, man, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this strongly. I can't help what happened to somebody's ancestors. I wasn't around there. I didn't have nothing to do with it. Slavery was wrong. Racism wrong. But why? Let me tell you why there's so much anger. Because of what happened years ago, hundreds of years ago. It's because they got an idle mind. And that's what they're dwelling on. Let me tell you, if I got to a point where I dwelled on everything that happened to me, I would be an angry man too. Anybody else with me? If I got mad and dwelled on every time somebody made me mad, guess what? I'd be an angry man too. But I can't. But idleness fills people's minds, and they begin to think about these things. They begin to dwell on these thoughts. And you see in Sodom, they begin to dwell on perversion. And you see where it went to. They got so bad, even when they were blinded, they still wanted to commit homosexual acts with the men of the angels of God. My God, help us. You see the problem today in our society. And all we see, all it started, I believe, with idleness. An abundance of it, plenty of it. It's all it was dwelt upon. They just laid around and they thought on their in their mindset. And the traveler came by and came in. And look where he led them to. My Lord, this morning, preacher, what are you going to? I'm telling you, there's travelers. They're going to come by. There's travelers that are looking for a place to come inside of your life. There's a traveler that wants to affect you this morning. It may not be the way he affected David. It may not be the way he affected Sodom. But I can tell you, if you allow that traveler to come in, that traveler will oppress you. And listen here, child of God, you can be oppressed by the devil this morning. I didn't say possessed. I said oppressed. There's a difference. Amen? Possession is when he's got control over you. And if you're bought with the blood, two can't dwell in the same body. Amen? A house divided cannot stand. But he can oppress you. He can weigh you down. He can chain you. And he can shackle you. And I've told you before, I would rather sometimes be sick in the physical body than be up here. Because sometimes what goes on in the mind is worse than what can go on in a physical body. I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning. What we begin to see, how the devil would work, are the things of what could be. How many know that's what he did? We dwell on when things begin to happen. What could be? What could be? Anybody else in here? The what could be is always the bad, ain't it? Going to the doctor, getting tests. He wants to run a test. We always think about the bad, don't we? Amen? Says he wants to talk to you. We always think the worst case scenario. My Lord, people think about what could be. What could be the worst case scenario? Let me tell you this morning, people begin to fear like that when that traveler begins to come in. Oh, I'm telling you, I believe this is the reason that many this morning are battling the spirit of fear. This is the reason this morning that many are battling oppression. They've allowed that a spirit, they've allowed that traveler to come in and work in their mind. All they think about is what could be, what could be, what could be. I told you last week, and I'll reiterate it, fear and faith's got something in common. Fear looks for the things hoped for. No, faith looks for the things hoped for, excuse me, and fear looks for the things which are not hoped for. Hello? And people, it seems like, are looking more for the bad than they are the good. In our lives, we're people always looking for something bad to happen. It's called fear bonding. And it all starts right here. It all starts right up here, where he plays at. Some of you need to quit looking to go going broke and start looking for God to bless you. Hey, man. Hey, man. People need to quit looking for the worst and start looking for the best. My God, let me tell you this morning what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this church to be filled. I ain't looking for it to close the doors. I'm looking for it to be filled and do more for the kingdom of God. We talk about the economy collapsing. I'm not looking for the economy to collapse. I'm looking for God to bless. Hello? Hello? Can I tell you something? This little church here, no matter what's been going on in our economy, has been blessed better than some bigger churches. Hey, man, I think you ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that this morning. Too often, we look for what's going to happen bad instead of what's looking for good. How can God bless us when we're looking for the bad? How can God move on our behalf when we're looking for the negative instead of the good? How could God give them the promised land when the majority of the spies were saying, there's giants, but two said, let us go and conquer Joshua and Caleb. But the majority said, we can't take it because there's people bigger than us. Those walls were fortified. Thank God, there were two that had the faith, amen? Listen, but this is where it works at, inside of our mindset. It's where he's playing games. We picture the negative. We picture the bad taking place. My God, let me tell you, today people are looking for funerals and God's looking for life. But I ask you, if you're always expecting the negative and the bad, how can you look for God to do the good? Amen. Faith and fear cannot go together. How many know that this morning? I'll tell you what's happening. Is Satan stealing? He's playing his game. A chess this morning. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I want you to know this morning that Satan's out to steal. I want you to know the thief is out to kill. You can worry yourself to death. You'd worry yourself sick. You'd worry things on you like that. Stress will kill. But I'm telling you, there's some that need to know the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of God. Let me tell you about Satan's voice and God's voice. Let's look at Satan's voice. Satan, first of all, let me give you the voice of God. God's voice will steal you, meaning he'll calm you. He will reassure you. He will lead you. He will enlighten you. His voice will forgive you. He encourages you. And he comforts you. The voice of Satan, what will it do? It will torment you. How many know the worst torment is up here? He will threaten you. He will push you. He will confuse you. He will condemn you. He will stress you. He will discourage you. And he will worry you. Do you see the difference in the two? That fear of what may be is not from God. That fear going through your mind is a traveler that the devil sent to get inside of you, to take root in you. If you start listening to the voice of the devil, you start listening to what he's got to say, can I tell you? He'll give you the worst deck of cards that you could ever imagine. And put you on the road to spiritual death. Think about it. I want you to think about what could be. Most people, the what could be. It is always the worst possible scenario. The thoughts, it affects many people. If you look around today, I tell people, here's how you turn off all the fear in our society. Turn off the news. The majority of it ain't nothing but garbage anyway and lies. How many know that? If you watch it, take it with a grain of salt. Most of this stuff is presented on there. But let me tell you, fear will cause reaction. Fear will affect somebody's actions. Even God-fearing people. I told you to reiterate how fear caused Abraham and Isaac to lie at a point because they feared being killed. Fear called Elijah to hide from Jezebel. Fear called Peter to deny Jesus three times and curse at a point. Fear caused the disciples to lock themselves in a house when Mary Magdalene and them was in the tomb looking for Jesus. Where were the men? They were locked inside thinking they would be the next to be killed. What caused that? Fear. Do you see how it operates in the mind? Do you see how fear can cause even believers to do things they normally would not do? I've seen some great people of God in my lifetime. I know they loved the Lord, do things, but when they found out it was fear was the reason they caused it. no excuse, but that's what causes it many times. Many times we want to crucify him. Well, I thank God he didn't crucify Abraham and Isaac. Amen? Amen? I'm more worried about him getting set free. Amen? From that spirit of fear this morning. God don't want you battling fear this morning. Anybody in here ever battled it before? In your mindset of the what could be, what may be, the worst possible scenario. If it ain't long, me tell you what's going to happen. You battle it long enough, you're going to be on hee-haw. All you're going to sing is gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. There's your song for the year. But it binds in the mind. People are tormented in the mind because of fear of what could be. I know there's been times, I won't speak for nobody else, but I'll speak for myself. I feared what could be. Oh, I'm not no super spiritual. It's hit me before. There's been times I could sit up all night worrying what may happen. When I got there, the thing that I worried about did not happen. Anybody ever thought like that? It what could be? I thought, oh, I never had the good part ever come into my mind. Everything I could picture was the worst. Everything that I could picture was the worst case scenario. Man, I'd sit up all night thinking about the worst case. How am I going to handle if it turns out like this? I try to get my angles on all sides. But when I got there, I realized how worried and I feared about nothing. Amen? See, the mind plays games. Anybody ever been to somebody, heard somebody talking, and you think it's, we're talking about you? Anybody ever had that play on them before? And most of the time, wasn't even mentioning you. You weren't even thought of. I've had it done. It's played on me before. Do you see how the mind can be tormented? It's Satan playing his chess game. Because he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's where it starts at. The problems of many is up here. I want to give you a nugget before I get there. Don't overthink things. That can be bad. Something the Lord learned me to do. Don't overthink it. Just wait and see. Don't jump to conclusions. That's what I'm talking about, jumping to conclusions, overthinking. You may see me and Junior Barnett talking. And Mama may think we're talking about her. Don't worry. If I got something to say, I'll tell it to you. No, but the devil works like that. Oh, he distorts. He puts those pictures in our mind of the bad, what could be. And what does he do? It will rob somebody of peace. It'll rob you of peace of mind. It'll rob you of joy. You want me to tell you why some people ain't joyous? It's because of what's going on up here. Let me tell you something. Preacher, you like to laugh. Yes, I like to laugh. I don't like to be a sour lemon. Amen? I'm just going to be honest with you right now. If you don't like to laugh, you don't want to be around me. I like to have a cut-up. The Bible says laughter is good for the soul. A merry heart does a soul good. People need to get this. Because I'm telling you what's missing today. People are robbed of this. They don't have a sense of humor no more. I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this strong. I'm going to say this joking. We know God's got a sense of humor. Amen. All you got to do is look at all you got to do is look around and know God's got a sense of humor. See, I like to laugh. Don't mean nothing by it. But people can't laugh because there ain't no joy. The devil's robbed them of their joy. Amen. You could, are we down south? I don't do it up here. I'd like to grab a hold of some and throw barbershop shaving cream down. And it's happened to me down home. When I pastored in Robbinsville, man, we'd do all kinds of things to each other. Laughter. Man, one time they put on my window, single preacher looking for a wife. I drove through town with it. But then I took a can of tuna, put it in a whipped cream bottle, bowl, sardines, excuse me, and stuck it, some holes in it, stuck it up under Amos's mama's new car seat. Yeah, I got that kind of sense of humor if I know somebody go along with it. I don't mind being the brunt of a joke. I'll laugh with it. I'll be honest with you. Because I like to laugh. God wants us to laugh. God wants us to have that. But I'm convinced the reason many cannot be joyous and the reason they can't have a merry heart is because they're bound up in the mind. Satan's got them oppressed. Satan will rob you of your joy. I told you before, I'm probably any different than any preacher you had or will have. I'm a totally different one. I like to cut up. I'm not the kind. This everybody's got their personality, but I'm not the kind that wants to do that. I ain't the kind. And if that's them, that's them. That's not me. I believe heaven's a place of joy. I believe heaven's a place of laughter. And I believe Jesus has got a merry heart. And I believe he wants us, but people are robbed of joy because of what Satan is doing in their mindset. Fear will rob you of relationships of others. Why don't people go to each other and make things right? It's because of fear. Fear of being rejected. Fear will rob you of your spiritual life. Fear will rob you of your physical health. Fear affects us in all ways. But fear starts in the mind. I told you, I thought it was funny when Faith told me I looked like I was 59 years old. I said, leave it to a youngin. Mama said, how old she thinks I am? I said, you probably don't want to know. But no, fear robs. Fear destroys. God ain't behind it. But God wants us joyous. But we dwell on it. We dwell on what did happen. Uh-oh. We dwell on what happened yesterday. Can't dwell on what happened yesterday. Yesterday's over. Hey, Ben. Yesterday is over. And today is a new day. I told you. People are angry at one another because of what happened yesterday. Get over it. I'm just going to be honest. They need to just get over what happened 200 years ago. It's over with. Can't change it. Let me tell you. They knock down every statue they are, but it don't change what happened. They could remove every flag they want to remove, but it don't change what happened. You've got to allow God to heal. Amen? I'm not saying what happened yesterday was right. It wasn't. But I'm not in yesterday. I'm in 2020 right now. And hopefully it won't be long. We'll be in 2021. But I can't dwell on it. People dwell on yesterday. They're eat up with it. Or they're dwelling on tomorrow. They even got there. See, if you're not careful, fear will take center stage in your life. Fear loves to have an audience. I'm reminded of the story of Karen Chesalot and her husband's book, Restore the Roar. She talked about the time they moved to Fort Worth, Texas. She began to develop symptoms that she could not explain. They began to interfere with her daily life. She developed a continuous cough that made her difficult to speak at times. Her joints and her muscles and bones began to ache. She had a headache and felt run down and a lack of energy. She got checked by the doctor and got the blood work done. They checked for lupus and Lyme disease, but the test came back normal, except one. The doctor said there was an issue of blood and referred to her to a hematologist for further testing. Well, she got a blow she wasn't expecting, and it was a diagnosis of leukemia. She said, peered in, talked about how fear took center stage inside of her life. If you would hear those words, what would be the first thing you would think? How long do I got to live? Fear loves an audience, and fear will play out every possible bad scenario there is. My gosh, you see how fear operates. What if? What could? The worst possible scenario. I want you to know this morning that Satan has a desire to destroy you. Satan has a desire to oppress you. Satan has a desire to bind you. Let me tell you, he may destroy you, but he may not use guns and knives. But what will he use? He will use fear and panic. He is destroying more lives with fear and panic than anything. I'm going to tell you, America 2020 is full of fear and panic. Our streets are overrun. We're worried about catching a virus. People are panicking over it. Can't we? I've caught the flu before. Never worry about that, do we? Don't want it, but you know, we don't. I'm just telling you how it is. People are panicking. Fearful. And let me tell you what Satan's doing. It ain't just that. It's things in your life that I don't know about, but God knows about. God knows what's going through your mind this morning. And I'm telling you, Satan has a desire to destroy you. He knows your situation. He knows your battle. See, God does. And he knows how Satan is playing it to make it the worst case scenario. I'm telling you, there's been times when I went through battles in my life. There's been some battles I've been through you don't need to know about. Didn't happen here. You don't need to know. But I'll tell you right now, the thing that went through my mind was, it's over. The thing that went through my mind is, I'm done. I'm finished. wasn't nothing of my doing, but it was a battle. But can I tell you, I'm still here today, ain't I? If Satan could have destroyed me years ago with fear and panic, he would have. In fact, what happened was the totally opposite of what I was expecting. Instead of defeat, it turned out to be total favor and total victory. Don't let Satan destroy you this morning. But many are. Because I tell you, many are overthinking. They're dwelling. What I mean overthinking is, they can't let it go. They're dwelling on it. It eats them alive. It's in their mind constantly. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from what this happened or what could be. I'm telling you, it's an issue. It's where the devil works, and he's playing his chess game with you. The devil ain't playing chess on the board. He's playing chess in your mind this morning. Jazz, you can go ahead and get ready to get Marcy. Satan's a liar this morning. You say, he ain't playing with me. But don't worry. If he ain't, he will be. Amen? He ain't. He will be. He will be playing it with you. It ain't fun up here. No, I'm not going to laugh, and I'm not going to ridicule. I'm not going to mock with somebody when they're bad on this, because I know it's real. It ain't a game. Amen? It's bondage. I'm telling you, sometimes it's worse than what can really sometimes happen to your physical body. Or what you're thinking about, what could be up here. I'm going to tell you, I don't mean this wrong, and I don't mean this in no way, but I'm telling you right now, Satan has caused many to take their own lives because of what goes on up here. That's how real this is. It breaks my heart to hear those stories. Satan has played with many mind to take their own lives. Because they fear what could be. They don't think there's a way out. There is a way out. And his name's Jesus this morning. But I want you to know this morning that we are in a battle. We're going to talk next week about guarding your mind. You can guard it. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. We got to be aware of the schemes of the devil. The Bible tells us he's going to throw fiery darts. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means he's shooting dart. It's full of fire. Arrows that are ablaze. Where does he hit that most of the time? Right here. Right here is where some of them hit. A lot of them hit. It's not a pretty picture. Fear runs rampant. People are bound of what could be. See, this morning, the mindset is where the devil's playground is. He works there. What could be? What could be? And I want you to know this morning, he's playing games. The devil will paint pictures that make it. Have you ever heard of a mirage? A mirage is something that seems to be there, but it's really not. Well, that's what the devil does. A mirage of something being there, but it's really not there. Marcia, you can get ready. Go ahead and start playing whenever you're ready. Fear is real. Travelers are real. Thoughts are real this morning. And I'm telling you, we got to guard our mind. We'll get into it this morning. We got to protect our mind. We got to renew our mind. And I'll just give you this morning real quick. The Bible says renew your mind. What it means to renew, if you don't renew it, you're going to be bound by something. How do we renew it? We renew it by the Word of God. Let me tell you this morning, Satan's at work. There may be some, you can stand in here this morning if you're able. There may be some that are bound this morning. There may be some that are facing it in their mindset, the thought that is coming their way. I want you to know Satan's a liar this morning. You don't have to be bound by those thoughts. Let me tell you, Christ is alive this morning. He wants you free this morning. Is there one that says, God, help my mindset. Help what's going on in my mind. Maybe I need to put it under you and give it to you this morning. Allow the Lord to take care of you this morning. Is there one that says, I need to renew my mind this morning. I need to give it to you this morning. I got a problem. I got a battle going on in my life. And the devil's playing with me this morning. I need to play it, put it to you right now. I need to give it to you this morning. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has come to set you free. I want you to know there's freedom in Christ this morning. You don't have to be bound up. You don't have to be bound by the ungodly thoughts. You don't have to be a prisoner. But you can be free this morning. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you this morning. We exalt you today, Lord, and we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. We ask God for you to touch each one. In Jesus' name, bind it right now in the name of Jesus. God, you didn't give her the spirit of fear. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.